This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. All praise be for Allah. We praise Him, we thank Him, we ask Him for His help, and we ask Him for His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our actions. Whoever is guided by Allah, then no one can misguide them. And whoever is misguided, then no one can guide them except for Allah Ta'ala. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger and ma'ba'ad. First of all, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Always a pleasure to see your beautiful faces, alhamdulillah. May Allah gather us in the next life just as He gathered us here, subhanAllah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, bi'idhnillah, the topic that I chose to speak about today is about spreading the greeting of salam and how, you know, subhanAllah, that by spreading the greeting of salam, this is what, you know, really creates the love and the sisterhood between us. And you can see the difference between those who always give salam to each other. You know, they can see the love that they have. It creates love in the hearts. And when people stop giving salam, subhanAllah, people become, you know, hard-hearted to each other and not caring to each other. So this is, subhanAllah, from the blessings of salam. Inshallah, I'm going to talk about the virtues of salam today and, like, the manners of the salam, like, how we're supposed to go about it and all of these things. Because, subhanAllah, like, if we're not re-emphasizing these manners of Islam, they're going to slowly get lost. As time goes by, we get more and more, molded with the society around us, and we start to lose the Islamic manners, which is a very dangerous thing. We need to always, you know, remind us of what is Islamic manners and to teach our children as well, so we don't lose these beautiful Islamic manners, because losing Islamic manners, you're going to lose the bond of Islam, you know, the sisterhood as well. It's going to go with it when you start to lose the greeting of salam. You know, and it's important to talk about a topic like this because we tend to concentrate on topics that, you know, have to do with ourselves, like regarding, like, you know, improving our prayers, our fasting, things like this. But it's very important to realize Islam didn't just come as an individual, you know, act of worship. It's also got to do with society as well. Islam is a whole system, and, you know, Islam is also about, you know, creating that Islamic society, that beautiful Islamic society, the caring and loving Islamic society. And so this we have to keep in mind. It's not just about, you know, improving yourself and making yourself better for the hereafter, but it's also about also establishing the love and caring Islamic society that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. So let's begin by speaking about, first of all, what is, you know, the meaning of assalamu alaikum when you say it. Because, like, sometimes we just say these words, but we never stop to think, what are we actually saying to people when we're saying this? So first of all, when we talk about the greeting of Islam, of assalamu alaikum, it's called afsha salam. Okay, so it's called broadcasting or spreading the salam. That's what it's called. And the word salam is from the root word salim, which means like greeting. It has the meaning of salam, of being a greeting. But what this greeting means is that basically you're making dua for the person, the one that you're saying assalamu alaikum to. You're making a dua for the person, for them to be protected and have safety from any danger or harm. So that's the first thing. And also, you know, the word as-salam, it has different meanings. And from the names of Allah Ta'ala, from the beautiful names of Allah Ta'ala, is as-salam. So, you know, Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Hashr, Al-Malik Al-Quddus as-salam. So Allah Ta'ala named Himself with this beautiful name of as-salam. So when you're saying Assalamu alaikum, you're also saying, may the blessing of his name descend upon you. May the blessing of his name descend upon you. His name, As-Salam, be upon you. And also, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that the Jannah is called Darus Salam. So it's the home of As-Salam as well. So the place of peace. So this is, you know, this is the different meanings that As-Salam has come with. So that's what you're asking for your sisters. When you say As-Salam Alaikum, you're making a dua for them to have peace and safety and security. And like I said, and have the blessing of Allah's name, As-Salam, upon them as well. Okay, so I'm going to go into some of the virtues of saying As-Salam Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. So first of all, like we said, Allah al-Malikul Qudus, As-Salam, he's made this greeting of As-Salamu Alaikum, he's made it the greeting of the people of Islam. This is a greeting that Allah has given us from the Ahlul Islam, from the people of Iman and Islam. And there's no greeting which is more perfect than this greeting. There's no greeting that is more perfect than this greeting of As-Salam. You think about it, when you say good morning to someone, That's just saying to them, have a good morning this morning. But when you say As-Salamu Alaikum, you're asking for complete safety and security. You're making a dua for that person to have complete safety and security from all types of harm. So it's a far more complete greeting. And that's why, dear sisters, like, we find, unfortunately, a lot of Muslims, like, as time goes by, they become slack in saying As-Salamu Alaikum. They start to say hi, and they start to say bye, Masalama. Instead of saying As-Salamu Alaikum, there's nothing greater than saying As-Salamu Alaikum. There's nothing more perfect. So when you say bye and hi to your sister in Islam, you're actually being deficient in your sisterhood towards her. Okay, because you're depriving her of a dua. And also you're depriving yourself of the reward of saying As-Salam, which I'm going to come to now. Because Allah Ta'ala mentions that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that when someone gives salam to another, when they just say As-Salamu Alaikum, they get 10 hasanat just from saying As-Salamu Alaikum. And if they say As-Salamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah, it's 20 hasanat. If they say As-Salamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh, it's 30 hasanat. So imagine you're just saying hi and bye. What are you getting out of that? Nothing. And the other person's not getting anything out of it either. So how could we trade in As-Salamu Alaikum, this beautiful greeting that's from the people of the Ahlul Jannah and the people of Islam? Why are we trading it in for something like that's just really attached to this world and the people of this world? You know, why are we trading it in for that? SubhanAllah. So in the hadith, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with some of his companions, and a man walked past, and so that man said As-Salamu Alaikum. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he'll have 10 hasanat. And then another man walked past, and he said As-Salamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said 20 hasanat. And then another man walked past and he said, As-Salamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 30 hasanah. And this hadith is narrated in Bukhari in Adab al-Mufrad. So what we learn from this hadith is the most complete way to give salam to someone is to say, As-Salamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. But as for replying, now an important principle to know when replying to As-Salam is that your salam should always be equal or better than what the person said to you. So if someone said As-Salamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah, it's not sufficient for you just to say Wa Alaikum As-Salam. You have to say either Wa Alaikum As-Salam wa Rahmatullah, or you say Wa Alaikum As-Salam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. Allah Ta'ala, He tells in Surah An-Nisa, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحَيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. So Allah Ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nisa that when you are greeted with a greeting, then greet in return with what is better than that or equally. And that verily Allah Ta'ala is the taker of it, that He calls to account of all things. So every little thing is called to account for. You know, it's in His hisab. SubhanAllah. Like Allah says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا. Whoever does even an atom's weight of good, they'll see it in Yawm Qiyamah, in their scales. And whoever does an atom's weight of evil will also see it in their scales. So don't underestimate, like SubhanAllah, we're always complaining as mothers, we don't have enough time to do ibadah. You know, we feel frustrated, we want to do more, and SubhanAllah, but our time is so limited. But we don't realize that we don't take advantage of these simple little things that we can implement by saying As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh when we greet people, instead of just saying As-salamu alaykum, or even just saying As-salamu alaykum instead of hi and bye. You know, imagine how much reward we get every day if we just say As-salamu alaykum to every Muslim we practically see. We get how many hasanat? You know, if we go out to the school and we see 100 sisters coming out of the school, that's already 100 times 10. 1,000 hasanah in one day just from going to the school and saying assalamu alaikum to everyone you see. If I walk in here, it's even better for me. I say assalamu alaikum and I get how much hasanah from saying to all of you. We have to realize as well that, okay, so another point here to mention as well in relation to this ayah is that saying assalam is a sunnah. And it's a sunnah mustahabba, like it's a love sunnah to precede the salam. And we'll come to talk about the virtue of that. But replying to the salam is a wajib. Replying to the salam is a wajib. It's an obligation. But let me just say here too, if you're giving salam to a group of people, as long as one of them replies with salam, then it's like that obligation is lifted from all of them. But if no one says salam, they'll all be sinful. If it's a group. But if it's one person you say assalamu alaikum to, then the person has to reply. If they don't reply, it's going to be a sin on them. Okay? So it's actually a wajib to reply. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us in the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim that the Muslim has 5 rights over his fellow Muslim. A Muslim has 5 rights over his fellow Muslim. The first one is that he should return his salam. The second is that he should visit him when he's sick. The third, that he should attend his funeral when he passes away. The fourth is to accept his invitation. And the last one is to say Yarhamukallah when he says Alhamdulillah, when he sneezes. The point, this, some people, they actually misunderstood this hadith. But we've got to understand something here, that this hadith, like, is talking about these obligations which come under as a fard kifaya. A fard kifaya, like, so it's a communal obligation. So as long as, like, when someone's sick, it's not an obligation on every single Muslim to visit that sick person, but as long as we know that some sisters are visiting that sick person, then we have been relieved of the obligation. But of course you're missing out on the huge reward for visiting that sick sister, because we know that if you visit a sick sister, 70,000 malaika make dua and ask forgiveness for you until the evening, if you visit her in the morning. And if you visit her at night, 70,000 malaika ask forgiveness for you until the morning. So SubhanAllah, so this is the huge reward for visiting a sick person. But as for whether it's a wajib, it becomes a wajib, like it's a communal wajib, like it's a communal fad, like a fad kifaya. Same with attending the funeral, same with even, you know, when she sneezes now, as long as someone from the group says Yarhamukallah, like that relieves the obligation of all of us. So that's what the main point here is, when someone enters the gathering, if there's a group of people, then they say assalamu alaikum, it's a wajib on one of us to reply wa alaikum assalam. At least someone did it. Alright, now from the virtues of saying assalamu alaikum is that it is the greeting of Ahl al-Jannah. So this is, you know, how could you trade in the greeting of Ahl al-Jannah for the greeting of the people of this world? SubhanAllah. This is what the people of Ahl al-Jannah will greet with each other whenever they enter upon each other. The Malaika, when the Ahl al-Jannah, when the people of Jannah, may Allah make us from amongst them, when they enter Jannah, the Malaika will enter upon them and say, As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum, Ahl al-Jannah. Peace be upon you, O people of the Jannah. And also saying assalamu alaikum is going to help you to be from the people of Jannah as well. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Ibrahim, verse 23, He said, وَأُدْخِلَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّتُهُمْ فِيهَا سَلَامٌ. So he says, subhanAllah, that the people who believe and did righteous deeds will be entered into the Jannah, under which the garden, under which rivers flow, tahiyyatuhum fiha salam, that their tahiyya, like their greeting with each other, will be assalamu alaikum. Beautiful and pure and good greetings. Greetings that makes you happy. That's the difference between this dunya and the akhirah for the people of Jannah. SubhanAllah, in this life, how many times do we feel sad from things we hear? Every day we hear sad news. Sad news about our sisters in Islam, our brothers in Islam, the suffering of the ummah, the suffering of the believers all over the earth. We hear about the suffering. And then on top of that, you hear people who slander you, who backbite you, who speak about you. SubhanAllah, people who hurt you with their tongues, even in your face. So the main thing we get depressed from is what? Is people's, what you hear. It's not so much what you see. Like, what you see can make you sad too, but what makes you more sad generally is what you hear, isn't it? Generally what makes us more sad is everything we're always hearing. SubhanAllah, but you know, we know that in al-Jannah, SubhanAllah, that all people will hear, like all you hear, is, that's the difference between al-Jannah, either in al-Jannah, all you hear is peace. Assalamu alaikum. But all you get to hear are words that make you happy. Pure and good words. All you hear in Jannah is tasbih. Subhanallah. Walhamdulillah. Wa la ilaha illallah. Wallahu akbar. So you hear tasbih and you hear assalamu alaikum. And you only hear the words that make you happy and feel peace in your heart. Subhanallah. You'll never be protected from ever hearing anything that makes you feel sad or nothing. You'll never ever experience again hearing something that brings sadness to your heart, ever. Imagine that, a place where there's just complete peace. You never hear something that brings sadness to your heart or hurts you. SubhanAllah. So this is what we're aiming for, dear sisters. That's why, you know, we have to strive. This life is a temporal life. It's coming to an end. So that's why don't put all your hopes in this world. SubhanAllah, it's coming to an end. Either everything this world's going to leave us and die, or we're going to leave it, one or the other. There's no way around it. So that's why we shouldn't put all our hopes and put all our dreams into this world. But what our dreams and hopes should be and our goals should ultimately be for the Jannah of the next life. May Allah not deprive us from it, inshallah. Okay, so the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us that there's four things that if people do these four things, it will help them to enter Jannah. So this is how saying assalamu alaikum, by saying it, it will help you to enter Jannah. Like, so look how simple Allah has made it for us to enter Jannah. Look how simple, subhanAllah. That is from how Allah is al-Kareem. He is the most generous. He makes it so simple, but we're the one who makes everything difficult on ourselves. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, afshu salam, spread the greetings of assalam. Wa at'imu al-ta'am, and give food and feed, you know, feed the hungry and feed Muslims in general. Wasilul arham, and maintain the blood ties. Wasallu bil-layli wan-nas niyam, pray at night when people are sleeping. Tudkhilil jannata bis-salam, you will enter the Jannah in security. Like, you'll find it easy to enter Jannah if you just do these four things. You enter Jannah easily. So that's why we should try to implement these four things. SubhanAllah. It sounds easy, but how much do we implement it? SubhanAllah. Spreading the salam wherever we go, as much as we can. Smiling our sisters' faces. Spreading the good wherever we go. And feeding. Inviting people to your house to feed them, or sending money overseas to feed the poor. All of that has got to do with feeding. Praying at night when people are sleeping. Try and pray at least 2 rak'at of Qiyam al-Layl. okay, trying to cling on to praying at night. And then keeping the blood ties, maintaining the blood ties. It's very difficult to do, subhanAllah. We have lots of problems with our relatives, but maintaining our blood ties. And then if you do all of that, inshallah, you'll enter the Jannah with ease, easily, inshallah. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا تدخلون الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. You're not going to enter Jannah until you believe. ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا. You're not going to believe until you love one another. أولا أدلكم على شيء إذا فعلتموه تحاببتم أفشوا السلام بينكم. So he said, shall I not show you something that if you do this, you will love one another? Look how simple. أَفْشُ السَّلَامْ بَيْنَكُمْ. Spread the salam amongst you. This is what maintains the love. Like, subhanAllah, how many times have you had you've had a little problem with someone, you've had another problem with a relative or another sister, and you've been thinking about that since you saw her last time. And then she comes to you, maybe on Eid or something like that, and she's got this big smile on her face, and she says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, how are you? What happens to you? The thoughts that were in your head, or the thing that was in your heart, it just melts away. It's like you forgot everything that happened. Like, whatever happened, khalas, yani, forget it, leave it, it's nothing. Do you mean, because of what? Because of this amazing miracle that Allah has given us of saying Assalamu alaikum. It's got this amazing effect on us that when someone says Assalamu alaikum and smiles in your face, or you know, gives you a hug, subhanAllah, you forgot everything, subhanAllah. So this is, you know, this is from the blessings of saying Assalamu alaikum. It comes with its blessing. Okay, so that's the next point that I was going to come to, that saying Assalamu alaikum is something that spreads the love and the mercy amongst the believers. It's something that spreads the love and mercy. And you know yourself, dear sisters, how many of you ever gone for Umrah or Hajj? Put your hand up if you've gone for Umrah Hajj. Or any other country that they don't speak English. Let's say that. Has anyone ever gone to a country they don't speak English, they don't speak Arabic, they don't speak the language that you speak? Alright? So when you went to that country and you saw Muslims and you couldn't speak each other's language, isn't the most beautiful feeling when you can smile on their face and say, Assalamu alaikum? You can't say anything else, but you communicate and you're spreading that love to that sister despite not being able to say one other word from her language. You say Assalamu alaikum. She says Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. And subhanAllah, you feel that love. You know, she's from India, you're from Australia. You know, you're from Australia, she's from Pakistan. Allah, I don't know where she's from. But subhanAllah, you feel that love between you, that sisterhood. And that's subhanAllah, that the Messenger of Allah was telling us that Allah adunukum, should I show you something that if you do it, to have baptum, like, you know, like you love each other, he said, Akshu salam bainakum, spread the salam between you. So subhanAllah, when someone says assalamu alaikum to you, you feel they're humbling themselves to you as well. You feel they want the good for you, they care about you. Whereas, you know yourself, if someone just walks past you, they don't say assalamu alaikum to you. What? You think you're better than me? I'm not good enough to say assalamu alaikum to me? Or maybe you think she's upset with you. Do you mean it doesn't give you a good feeling when someone ignores you or just walks past you and doesn't say assalamu alaikum? And that's why even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us in fact that one of the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah is that people will begin to only give salam to who they know. And that's one thing which we should keep in mind. Like, don't limit your salam to only those people that you know. Alright? Just because, you know, I've seen her in the lesson, I'll say assalamu alaikum to her, but like, oh, I haven't seen her before. Who's this new girl? No, I'm not going to say assalamu alaikum to her. Yeah, I mean, that's not the way we're supposed to be. Anyone, like, you don't know, we don't know what sisters are going through. Like, you know, that's something I meant to mention as well. Especially in this day and age, dear sisters, at this time we're living in, we are in the greatest need to spread the salam. We're all going through a hard time. In this ummah, we're all going through a hard time together. We feel like everyone's against us. You know, at the minute you open up the television, or you open up social media, everyone's like, subhanAllah, slandering us, talking about us, hating us. So you don't know what kind of environment sisters are living in. They're going through all this pressure from people outside, and then they go in their homes, they've got problems with their husbands, problems with their children, problems with their, you know, marriages, their relatives. You know what I mean? So you don't know what assalamu alaikum could mean to someone. She's walking around, she's feeling so low, and then she just hears this voice coming from nowhere saying, assalamu alaikum, sister, how are you? With a smile. You don't know her, but like, you don't know what you did to her. You don't know what kind of happiness you brought to her heart, a little happiness that could just pick her up for the day, just bring her out of that low that she's going through, subhanAllah. So we have to realize that saying assalamu alaikum this time and clinging to it and trying to spread it, it's even more important than before. Because we all need that love. We all need to feel like we belong, don't we? We all need to feel that feeling of belonging. And especially at this time when we feel like everyone's against us. We need to feel that sense of belonging. So it's very important for us to spread this greeting of assalamu alaikum. And that's what I was saying before, like, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that among the signs of the hour is that people begin to give salam to whom they know and whom they don't know. And so this, we don't want to become like the people of Akhir Zaman. We don't want to resemble the people of towards the end of the hour. That's not a good sign to be from those people that he's talking about. So we don't want to just only give salam to who we know. We want to try and give it to whom we don't know even. And even in another hadith in Ahmad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the most miserly of people are the ones who are miserly in giving salam to people. You can't even give salam. Or it's enough you don't give enough sadaqah. Alright, it's enough you don't give sadaqah. You want to hold on to your money so tightly, but now you can't even say assalamu alaikum to your sisters. You can't even hold on tightly to your dua for other sisters. Like that, how miserly can we get? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that if two Muslims have a problem with each other, and then they meet each other and say assalam to each other, that this is something that's going to take away the bad feelings that they're going to have in each other's hearts. And this hadith is narrated in Bukhari, narrated by Abu Ayyub, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, it's not permissible for a Muslim to cut off his brother for more than 3 days. It's not permissible for a Muslim to cut off his brother for more than 3 days, each of them turning away from the other if they meet, and the best one of them is the first to say as-salam. The best one of them is the first to say as-salam. So anything from this dunya, any disagreement that people have had from the affairs of this dunya, it's not allowed for them to cut each other off. If it's a personal disagreement, it's not allowed to cut another Muslim off for more than 3 days for any personal disagreement. The only exception to that is if it was a religious matter that they've disobeyed Allah and you're trying to reform their character, you're trying to reform something they're doing wrong, then it can be permissible to cut them, like not speak to them for more than 3 days. But that it's not allowed to be for a personal reason. And that's out of train. And that's only if it brings benefit in boycotting them in that situation. If it doesn't bring benefit and it's going to push them away from Islam further, then it's not recommended to do that. Okay, so it's not something we do just, you know. And it's sad that, it's really sad. I want to mention something here too, that it's really sad if you're living in with all these pressures I mentioned before, that you've got sisters who are Muslims who are so nitpicky, like they're nitpicking on other Muslims so much, like going on social media and slandering like callers to Islam and, you know, trying to like nitpick at people and try and find their faults and expose them. They're doing all of this in this climate that we're living in is so unwise. And like, you know, I came across a sister recently. She actually, you know, contacted me. I think she was trying to find out what wrong things I had in myself. You know, well, if you want to see that, I've got plenty of wrong things if anyone wants to know. I'm not, you know, Allah knows it. And, you know, as long as Allah knows, I don't need to prove it to anybody else. But, you know, but the thing is that, subhanAllah, like, basically when I said to her, why don't you ask them a shaykh about your questions? She said, I'm not going to take from juhala. I'm not taking from ignorant people. So, like, in other words, because we don't follow the exact scholars that she takes or that, like, I'm not saying we don't follow the scholars that she takes, but like she's got certain scholars that if you don't stick yourself 100% to these people, then you're off the path, you're not on the manhaj, you know, you're not really, like, and you, in other words, you're from the Ahlul Bidah that that we can boycott you. And basically, I feel sad for these people because basically they boycott nearly every single person in the community. No one lives up to their standards of being a Muslim to them. You know, and this is, you know, look how destructive is this thought mentality. How destructive is this when, you know, subhanAllah, we're already living in a climate of pressure. We're already living in a climate when we've got so much enmity from the Muslim, from the disbelievers, and now you want to create even more enmity amongst the believers, and then you get new, what I feel sorry for the most are the new reverts. I feel sorry for the new reverts the most, because they come in to Islam thinking it's going to be so beautiful, you know, spreading the salam, having love of sisterhood, and the next minute they hear is, this one's an innovator, this one's a hypocrite, this one's a kafir, you know, like, you know a revert, you know, any of you who've reverted, you know what a revert is like. A revert, sisters, is like a newborn baby. Literally, they're like a newborn baby. And just like the newborn baby looks at the world with beauty. Like your child, look at your children when you're growing up. They don't know about the horrible things in this world. So they say, oh, look at that beautiful sun, look at that beautiful tree. Look at that, you know, like everything's beautiful to them. They don't know anything called, you know, evil. They don't know anything called corrupt. You know, that's how their heart is. And that's how it is when you're a revert. When you're a revert, it's like, oh, I love Islam. And so you should love Islam. But, you know, I love the Muslims. I love everyone. And then someone comes on and says, don't go this group. Don't go that group. Don't learn from her. She's got innovation. She's got, you know, okay, I'm not saying there are some people that, okay, there are some places you do have to obviously warn about, like someone teaching people that Ali should have got the prophethood instead of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, this is something to be warned about. Someone teaching people to call upon others besides Allah. That's outright shirk. Warn about that. You know, someone doing major innovations and calling to those major innovations. All right, fine. Point out those major innovations, but don't make it that every single person, you know, have a list of people, which is nearly every single person in the community, is corrupt. It doesn't help anyone. It's just really helping the disbelievers. It's doing exactly what Allah told us not to do. He told us don't divide. He says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا. He says, if you divide, you will fail. You won't be strong. وَتَذْهَبُوا رِيحُكُمْ. And your strength will go out of you. And that's exactly what is the problem with the Muslim Ummah. We're at a point in time we have to unite upon what we agree upon. We can't agree upon everything, but those of us who have the basic usul, the basic foundations, we have to unite with them to be strong. Otherwise we're gonna be taken one by one. Look at the wolf. When he wants to attack the flock, does he go for the group or does he go for the stray ones? He goes for the stray ones. So to be strong, we have to stick together. We can't be individuals or the shaitan's going to pick us off one by one. The enemies of Islam are going to pick us off one by one. SubhanAllah. So that's why we have to stick together to be strong. That's what Allah teaches us. And believe me, sisters, mark my words. How long have I been a Muslim, alhamdulillah? How long have I been Muslim for now? Over 26 years practicing Islam. Let me tell you some advice from myself. Some sincere advice. And other sisters in the room who've been with me for this long as well. We will tell you that those sisters who had that mentality of picking at other sisters and looking down at everyone and, you know, finding fault with everyone and went off on their own, just go and have a look at where they are today. It's a sad story. I feel sad for these sisters. Some of them haven't, they're not even in Islam anymore. They're not even sisters. I can't even call her sister. These are sisters, who wore full niqab. Full niqab. And they looked like they were the most strongest out of everybody. And they're looking down at everybody else. They're not even strong as them. And where are they today? They're not even in Islam. This is not the right mentality to have. And if you go and study properly the whole religion, not just take parts of the religion, you'll see that Islam calls for unity. Islam calls for being together. Islam calls for the uhuwat of Islam, for the sisterhood of Islam. إِنَّنَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. The Muslims are brothers and sisters to each other. Once you start going down that path of being too picky on people and spreading hatred and spreading bad feelings and suspicions, that's going down the path of destruction. For yourself and for the rest of the community as well. We don't need it. it doesn't bring any benefit to anyone. There are only specific times where we need to warn people, like I said, and they're not. It's not every single time. It's not about every single sister and every single brother in the community and every single sheikh. So when you get to that point, you know there's something wrong. Like when you go to their website and you see a list that goes on and on and on that every single person you should listen to, you know there's something not right with that website. The Messenger of Allah said, Al-khayru fi ummati. You know? Al-khayru fi ya wa fi ummati li yawm al-din. Like the good will be in me and this ummah until yawm al-qiyamah. There's always going to be some people on the straight path. It's not to the point where there's no one on the straight path and they just... And it's not like that, you know, alhamdulillah, Allah protects. We have more hope in Allah that, you know, I'm not saying that you won't find mistakes. I'm not saying that some people don't have some mistakes. Who doesn't have mistakes? Everybody has mistakes. Even if you've got the correct aqidah, all right, you're still going to have other mistakes. Maybe your mistake is your bad akhlaq. You understand? So we've all got mistakes, but of course some mistakes are worse than others. Definitely mistakes in aqidah is something that is a big mistake, but... You've got to understand there are some mistakes in aqidah which is bigger than others. Some mistakes in aqidah can be overlooked, where other things, they cannot be overlooked. Like someone who doesn't believe Quran is the word of Allah, or that it's the final revelation, that's something that cannot be overlooked. Or someone who doesn't believe that Muhammad is the final messenger, that's something that cannot be overlooked. Alright? Or someone who believes in praying to others besides Allah. These are mistakes in aqidah that can't be overlooked. But there's other types of mistakes that can be overlooked because, you know, like what I mean is I'm not saying you go learn from those people if they've got, but they're teaching those mistakes. But I'm saying that as your sister in Islam, she's just a follower. Doesn't mean you go boycott her because she's gone to different mosques than you and she's got some slightly different teachings that don't go beyond the pale. You understand? So you've got to weigh up things. Yeah, but that's just some important matters we have to keep in mind. Also, there's another narration that says that the person who's closest to Allah is the one who proceeds in Islam. Like, verily the closest people to Allah. Inna awla an-nasi billah man bada'ahum bis-salam. So like, if you have two people give salam, the one who proceeds the salam first always, that person is closest to Allah. Because why? It shows that they're racing for the good deeds. They want to get the thawab because the one who precedes Islam, the one who precedes saying assalamu alaikum is better than, like they're better than the one who answered. You know, because they preceded. So they're actually better. And in fact, I'll tell you a story that subhanAllah Abdullah ibn Umar is narrating authentic chain from Imam Malik that he used to purposely go to the marketplace not to trade goods. He used to go there just to be able to say assalamu alaikum to the Muslims. To spread the love, to spread the goodness, and to say assalamu alaikum, and to get the reward from saying assalamu alaikum. This was, instead of going there to get benefit from the trading, he was going to get the benefit of saying assalamu alaikum. That was his trade for the akhirah, subhanAllah. He went there to trade for the akhirah, not trade for the dunya, subhanAllah. Okay, and even there's another narration that relates to what I said before, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith in Bukhari, Muslim, narrated by Abdullah ibn al-As, he said, he was a man came to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, which Islam is best? Which Islam is best? He said, providing food for people and giving salam to who you know and who you don't know. This person is the top in Islam. They provide, you know, they provide the food for the people and they give salam to who they know and who they don't know. See, it's simple principles that we need to live by. Okay, another of the virtues of giving salam, Allah Ta'ala told us when we enter our houses that we should give as-salam. We should say as-salamu alaykum upon entering our houses. This is the manners of the Qur'an. Sometimes sisters ask, what are the manners of the Qur'an? This is one of the manners of the Qur'an that Allah Ta'ala has taught us. In Surah Nur, verse 61, He says, فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ تَحِيَّةً مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبًا. So he says that when you enter your houses, فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْفُسِكُمْ, to give the salam to each other, tahiyatan min indillah. Like it is a tahiyya, it is a greeting from Allah. Mubarakatan tayyibah. It's a blessed greeting and a goodly greeting that you should give each other. Even if no one's home, have hope there's malaika in your house. If you have no pictures, you have no dogs inside your house, inshallah you've got malaika inside your house. So when you go home, you say assalamu alaikum. Even inshallah the malaika, you're saying assalamu alaikum to the malaika. But you know, assalamu alaikum upon entering your house, it's making dua as well. It's a mentioning of Allah upon entering the house, because we said assalam is from the names of Allah. So you mentioned, that's another way of mentioning Allah upon entering the house, that the Messenger of Allah taught us that if someone mentions Allah upon entering their house, the shaitan is not able to enter that house. Okay, so when you mention Allah over your food, or you mention Allah before entering your house, it prevents the shaitan from sharing in your food or from sharing in your house with you. May Allah protect us. Now I'm going to come to the manners of giving salam. How do you give salam? What are the manners of Islam in giving the salam? Okay, so first of all, the way to greet our sisters and say assalamu alaikum is to say assalamu alaikum and shake her hand. And it seems to be more like what the hadith indicate is it's shaking one hand, not shaking two hands. To shake the hand with one sister, saying assalamu alaikum, like we said, this puts love and mercy into the hearts between you and dissolves any bad feelings or hatred that was previously there. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, there's no two Muslims who meet and shake hands with one another that they'll be forgiven before they part. So imagine that that's another way of getting forgiveness from Allah, that you shake hands with your sister. And in another narration it mentions that when they shake hands, their sins fall down like leaves of a tree. So you think it's just a little act of shaking the hand of one sister, you don't realize you're doing that, and your minor sins are falling down from your hands just like the leaves fall down from a tree, subhanAllah, through that giving of salam. So this is, yani, this is the virtues of salam that we're depriving ourselves from doing if we're not spreading the salam. So you're getting forgiveness from Allah, subhanAllah. Just to mention too, but like really the sunnah upon greeting one sitter that we see all the time is just to shake their hand and say assalamu alaikum. Not to every single time we see each other to kiss and to hug. I know it's lovely, but the real sunnah is to only do that when they're coming back from a journey or you haven't seen them for some time. It's okay to give them a kiss and a hug if you haven't seen them for a while, or it's Eid. But really the sunnah is not every single time we see our sister to give her a kiss and a hug. It's not actually from the sunnah. If we want to follow the sunnah properly, I know that that's a bit difficult to practice with some people. Like what I would do is the ones you know who are upon the sunnah, you shake their hand because they understand that that's the sunnah. But ones who you're not, like they're a bit cultural or they're not really close to you, you can't always just go like that. They get offended. So sometimes you just go along with the culture, not to. You also don't want to be repulsive. As a Muslim, you want like what Allah loves is the personality that brings people towards you, not pushes people away from you. Okay. The good akhlaq, the beautiful akhlaq that Allah wants us to have is the akhlaq that invites people towards you, not that you push people away from you. Alright, so this is something to keep in mind. We don't want to also repulse people away from ourselves. Okay, some important points in relation to salam. What are the manners of salam? These are missing manners that we need to teach our children, because they're going to be lost. These adab from Islam are going to be lost. One of them is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that the younger Muslim says assalamu alaikum to older Muslim. Like the older Muslim has more right that you greet them first out of your respect. Even teachers should actually be greeted before the teacher greets you. That's actually the sunnah. Like anyone who like is older or a teacher, these things we should greet them as our manners. Another thing is the one who is riding should greet the one who is walking. And the one who's walking gives salam to the one who's sitting. So if you're passing by a group of sisters, you're the one who should say assalamu alaikum. If you're standing, you give greeting to the one who is the one who's by herself gives salam to the group. Alright? Now even though we should teach our young to greet the elders, It's not the mentality we should have if we're older to say, well, I'm older now, you should all say, salamu alaykum to me first. That's not the type of pride that the Prophet taught us. In fact, you see, the Messenger of Allah was most humble, that wherever he would see the children, he would say, assalamu alaykum to the children. He didn't used to ignore the children. If he saw a group of children, he'd say, assalamu alaykum to them. And he didn't ignore them. That was from his beautiful akhlaq. So we shouldn't, you know, that's fine. So we shouldn't, as we're getting older, like a lot of us, as we get older, we get a bit funny in our ways, but we shouldn't be sitting there waiting for our grandchildren to, oh, their grandchildren don't greet me, like the youth don't greet me. No, you be the one to greet them. When you love, when you spread the love to the youth and to the children, they will love you and they'll want to come and say assalamu alaikum to you. Alright, so this is the way we should be thinking. I'll just mention a quick brief manner here too. Okay, that is a brother. Okay. 10 minutes until a brother. I'll just mention one thing too, that the way we're supposed to greet with the salam as well is not to raise the voice very loudly that disturbs the sleeping person. The way that the Prophet taught us to greet is, if someone's sleeping, you don't say it in a way that disturbs a sleeping person. Okay, so it's not supposed to be a loud greeting, nor should it be so soft that the person doesn't hear you and they can't fulfill their wajib. You need to make it loud enough that the sister can at least hear it to be able to respond to you. The other manners that relates to this is also that when you're entering upon any place, the person entering should say the salam. Like, whoever entered into the class, they say assalamu alaikum. Alright? Whoever enters into the gathering, they say assalamu alaikum. And generally, like we said before, if you greet people on the phone, you know, the first words we should begin with and we should also end with, because even it's mentioned in the hadith about when you end the gathering, you should say assalamu alaikum. That should be the last words we say before leaving. Another thing, just okay, a couple of points on things that are forbidden in relation to salam. It's not, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us to just wave without saying assalamu alaikum, because that's imitating the Jews. The Jews, they wave without saying assalamu alaikum. So we should, if you want to wave, that's fine, but say assalamu alaikum. Maybe she can't hear you, but just say it, not to resemble the Jews in what they do. And obviously, another thing, now, what is the manners in relation to women greeting men? Okay, so in general, the Salaf didn't used to, like, when there's a fitna, when there can be a fitna, like, of greeting, then the Salaf didn't make a habit of men greeting women. But like, for example, a man sees an elderly Muslim sister, he can say assalamu alaikum. A man sees a group of sisters and there's no fitna, like if he's a sheikh or something like that, he walks past a group, he can say assalamu alaikum. And if he enters the car, for example, and he's taking sisters, he can say assalamu alaikum. But you understand how it is, that it's formality, but it's not like, you know, he sees it, it's not like what we mentioned today about smiling and saying assalamu alaikum, but like we walk in, there's obviously, we have to abide by the Islamic code and formalities in dealing with the opposite gender, because we have to ward off fitna. So if there's a fear of fitna, then it's not recommended to say assalamu alaikum, like to a man who's young, not married, and you know, and you're a beautiful woman and you're saying assalamu alaikum, like, that's opening up the door of fitna, alright? So you've got to be wise and fear Allah in the way you deal with saying assalamu alaikum. Alright, so I'll leave it with that. So if anyone has any questions, inshallah, I'll answer any questions.